Hello, folks. Here we are. We're at the final in our series I've entitled 66 Books. We've worked together through 66 books of our Bible. I hope you've been blessed as much as I have in the studying of it together. Now, there will be one extra podcast at the end of this series, which takes a look at the period between the Old and the New Testament. I did consider slotting it in and doing it at that point, but I felt it may confuse people a little bit when the 66 episodes didn't match up with the order in which the books of our Bibles appear. So you may find it helpful to listen to that one as well, episode 67, Between the Testaments. If you're not listening to these podcasts in the moment, in other words, as they've been released week by week, there was a notification at week 40 that you could pop ahead now and listen to 67 before launching off into the New Testament section. Anyway, we've done it, and we've done it together. And we've arrived today at the last book of the Bible, the book entitled Revelation, the book of the judgment by Jesus Christ. Revelation is the only holy prophetic book in the New Testament. There are, in fact, 17 such books in the Old Testament. It is without doubt a superb finish to God's library of messages to the world he loves. The name of the book is taken from the verse, which tells us that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the author is declared to be Jesus Christ, but the one who receives it and passes on to us is someone who calls himself John. That's told us in Revelation chapters 1 all the way through to 22. And he describes himself as a servant of Christ. But also he says he is our brother and companion in tribulation. Tradition says the author was again John the Apostle. And the number of similarities between Revelation and the other books written by John is very strong. Distinctive use of terms and phrases like the Word, the Lamb, and the Truth, as well as contrasting themes like light and darkness, love and hate, and good and evil, also strongly support the conclusion that the Apostle John was the author of this book. John states that he was banished to the island of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, and he wrote it before his release. He tells us that of several times in the book. Famous historical person in the church called Irenaeus wrote that John was banished to Patmos in the 15th year of Domitian, who ruled from 80 to 95 AD. And we know that John was released by the Roman leader Nerva in 96 AD. Therefore, John probably wrote the Revelation around about the time of his release, or in the last year of his captivity in 95 or 96 AD. Revelation was addressed to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and John begins by naming Ephesus and continues clockwise through the list of seven churches until he arrives at Laodicea. At least some of these churches were suffering persecution, quite severe persecution in some cases. You see, Domitian was the first Roman emperor to demand emperor worship while he was still alive, and it was this that led to this new persecution of Christians. The message of the book is fairly straightforward on a superficial level. It is the revealing of Jesus Christ as the judge. He will be the one who will judge the world, and he's the one who will judge the church. The message is that since Jesus Christ is the judge of the churches as well as the world, then persecuted Christians should be comforted, and complacent Christians should be challenged to endure in the knowledge that they will be rewarded in the future. The structure of this book is probably more complicated than any other in the Bible. The literary form is a blend of letter writing and what is called apocalyptic literature. Apocalyptic literature uses symbols which often appear random on the surface, for example, beasts with seven heads and ten horns, etc. These visions often feature fearsome beasts and mysterious numbers and are mostly concerned with God's conquest of evil and the deliverance of his people. God is seen through these symbolic actions to intervene in world affairs, to overthrow the wicked, to give victory to the righteous, to establish his kingdom and introduce an era of a new heaven and a new earth. The literary structure is in things seen, things which are, and things that will take place after this. The things seen are the revelation of Jesus Christ as judge. The things which are the seven letters to the seven churches. And the things that will take place include all the apocalyptic imagery and the series of judgments known as the judgment of seals, trumpets and bowls. All these judgments on the earth which will take place prior to the coming of Christ, the second coming, the millennium, and the great white throne judgment, and also before the revealing of the new heaven and the new earth. Now, a precaution for readers when approaching apocalyptic literature, and to an extent the prophetic writings, is not to treat these books as a collection of puzzles. They were not given to amuse Christians by giving them mysteries to work out. They were given to strengthen and to guide those who are suffering persecution. There is little spiritual benefit in finding the meaning of symbols while ignoring their relevance to personal experience right in the now. Christian persecutions and divine judgments on the persecutors have occurred repeatedly through church's history and will continue to be repeated until Christ returns. From the first century to the present, Christians have triumphed over the forces of the Antichrist through Christ's victory on the cross. Revelation 12:11 tells us so. But the ultimate victory will come when Christ returns to banish evil, save his people, and bring in the eternal age of peace and joy, as described all the way through this book. So let's think about the purpose of this book, why it was written. At the time it was written, it was a very testing time for Christians. Thousands were imprisoned. Thousands were being tortured, killed, or put to work as slaves. Oppression was increasing. People in general were becoming more anti-Christian, and the government enforced emperor worship as a policy. To make matters worse for the church, false teachers were creating trouble within the churches by encouraging Christians to cooperate with the pagan religions of the state and telling them to join in practices that were clearly idolatrous and immoral. Many Christians were discouraged, and no doubt some were confused, and some were even renouncing their faith. It seemed to them that Jesus Christ, the King they had expected to return in power, was either unwilling to save them from the forces of evil or unable to. Many, I'm sure, felt that the real power appeared not to be in the hands of Almighty God, but in fact in the hands of the Roman Empire. One of the purposes of Revelation is to comfort persecuted Christians. When Domitian became emperor, he demanded worship, which led to this new persecution, and some are being persecuted literally to death. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9 says, "We are companions in tribulation." So John knew what he was writing about. John wrote to comfort and to reassure Christian believers that Christ will eventually deal with the situation, judge sin on the earth, establish his kingdom, and bring about everlasting righteousness. Another purpose of Revelation is to challenge complacent Christians. Some believers had become lax and lukewarm. The Ephesians, we are told in Revelation chapter 2 verse 4, had lost their first love. Pergamos and Thyatira were allowing things to go in a way they shouldn't have. We're told that in Revelation 2:15. The Laodiceans were lukewarm, says Revelation 3:16. John wants to challenge all these people and challenge them to steadfast and to perseverance. So he writes to remind them that the Lord is returning and their eternal reward will lie with him. So in summary, the Apostle John wrote this letter, stroke book, to the seven churches of Asia Minor, revealing Jesus Christ as judge of the churches and the world in order to comfort the persecuted, to comfort Christians, but also to challenge complacent Christians. The present persecution, he said, is just pointing to even more severe persecutions that are to come. Jesus Christ will judge believers as well as the world on how they live. through John, Jesus' revelation reassures his suffering people that he is still in control. This does not give false hope by promising quick relief. On the contrary, it prepares us for even greater endurance by revealing both the extent of the troubles yet to come, but also the eternal reward that awaits those who stand firm in him. Jesus is revealed in this book as the ruler of the world, who is still in control, and the one who will judge both the church and the world. In God's time, Jesus will return to punish his enemies, save his people, and bring in an age of eternal peace and joy. And we can be oh so thankful for that.